Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. One of our favorite tools in our real estate toolkit is private money. Today, we've got a couple of guests. We're going to tell you how to be a private lender or how to use private money to build your income and portfolio in real estate. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program. For solid cash flow in a market where the jobs are likely to stay put? This is Robert Helms. Join me March 2nd through 4th for the Real Estate Guys Investor Field Trip to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm excited to show you this affordable real estate market where cash flow is the name of the game. You'll meet active developers, rehabbers, property managers, plus folks from the Chamber of Commerce and many surprise guest speakers. Find out how the four R's of Memphis will virtually ensure a steady supply of qualified tenants. For all the details, visit realestateguysradio.com and click on Events. Join me in Memphis for an amazing cash flow weekend. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on Events. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/realestateguys. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms, and it is my pleasure to introduce you to a couple of great gentlemen. I'll do that after I introduce you to these guys. Here's Russell Gray, co-host and financial strategist. How are you?
Hey, Robert.
And the man we call the godfather of real estate, but investing in seven different decades, Bob Helms.
Great to be on the show again. It must have been a long time since I was here.
Seems like it. Well, we've got a great topic today. You picked a good day to be in the studio, Bob. We've got a topic that is near and dear to your heart. We're going to talk about private money today. Now, just so you understand, that means that it's not traditional bank money. It's not going to the bank or your mortgage professional and getting a loan in most cases. Instead, it's being a little creative with real estate, but it's kind of what these times call for.
Absolutely. In fact, I don't know too many banks that want to give me any money to start with.
Yeah, there you go. So this is a great topic, and we do have a couple of guests today, all kidding aside, who are going to come on and share with us what they're doing in an interesting marketplace and taking advantage of the fact that there are pools of capital available today that are non-traditional and that a lot of people haven't even heard of.
Right. It's a perfect storm for this type of opportunity. We've been talking about this now for a couple of years. You know, when the mortgage crisis hit and the mortgage distribution channel of normal money making its way through the market through normal channels disappeared, it really disrupted all that pipeline. And now, over the last couple, 3 years, the entrepreneurial spirit of America has been rising up, and people have gone out and they've found a way to solve a couple of different problems. The obvious problem is the market is crying out for capital. We want to finance properties. We need to finance properties, but there isn't traditional sources of lending available. On the flip side of it, you've got people out there that are dealing with a federal reserve that is holding interest rates at basically zero. Treasury bonds are yielding nothing. I mean, you've got this threat of inflation hanging over your head. The stock market's been the decade of nothing for the last 10 years. Where do you go to get yield? And so that's really the perfect storm. If you can find people who've got capital that needs yield, and you've got borrowers who've got good collateral and you know, are willing to put some skin in the game, because that's really the differentiating factor, you've got an opportunity to do some business. And that's beginning to happen now. So I'm very excited to hear what these guys have to say, what they're doing in their market.
Well, so many people today are interested in investing in real estate. And it's still early, right? We're not back to where everybody's talking about it. And that's a good thing if you're listening to the show. The fact that all your friends aren't saying, oh, yeah, let's go get a bunch of real estate right now, that's good news. But there are a lot of people that have interest, right? And then we meet these people, they send us emails every day. It's like, I want to get in investing, but I lost a house to foreclosure, and so my credit's no good, and I can't possibly get a loan, and leverage is such a great tool, and so forth. So I think private money is one of the tools that you have in your arsenal. Now, Bob, you and I have used private money for more than 20 years. For you, it's probably a lot longer than that, right? Guy's been investing in seven different decades, but this has always been, even when loans were readily available, this has always been one of our favorite tools.
Well, it's one of the things you use when other things don't work, and it's one of the things that some situations afford much better. Russ, I'm reminded of the fact that for years you have always talked about the fact that the market is going to rise, that the circumstances are going to change to meet and solve the problem. Well, the problem has clearly been a lack of readily available money. Therefore, I think any method that makes sense that isn't against the law, you better stop and hear it.
Right. In fact, in a future show, we're going to look at some of those methods that are actually against the law. And we'll you're right, though. But it's not just the law, though, right? It's what lenders have is lenders have a set of circumstances and rules and guidelines that has served them over time. And because of the economic meltdown and the amazing catastrophe in their market, they have taken a hard look at that and changed and said, wait a minute. People are actually going to have to be able to qualify for now. We want to see big down payments. We want to have a process for appraisals. All of those things make it more difficult. So you say, well, yeah, interest rates are at a 50-year low. I would love to refi everything I have, except that the box you have to fit in today is so much smaller that only the best possibly qualified borrowers are able to get that money.
Right. There's multiple factors going on. You have a decreasing number of lenders because some of those guys just went out of business. The whole mortgage banking sector and the investment banking sector pretty much got wiped out. So now you're just dealing with conventional banks that tend to be more conservative. So you've got that. You've got the government stepping in with all kinds of financial regulation, making it very difficult for these guys to do anything that even remotely smacks of being creative. You've got the bond investors that are very skittish of anything mortgage-backed, and so that pool of working through the Wall Street distribution channel has kind of dried up a little bit. And so you've got all those things going on. And then on the other side of it, it's really forcing people to get back to the basics of lending at the community level. And when private money can step in and look at a human being and say, look, I hear your story. I understand your circumstances. I see the collateral. I get the business model here. I'm going to take a chance on you, and I'm going to make this investment because I really understand it. What Wall Street had created was so much distance between the people supplying the money and the people borrowing the money, they had no way of assessing the risk. And, of course, it was completely misjudged, and they were not getting the yields they needed for the amount of risk they were taking. Private money solves that problem.
Well, it solves it on that side. It also solves it on the other side. Bob, comment?
One of the things I really like about private money compared to the bank is the ability to be flexible with the terms you come up with. It may cost you a little more. In fact, depend on it. It's going to cost you a little more, especially when you can't go get it at Sears and Roebuck. So that's not really the factor. If your project that you're doing can and will afford it, then don't be worried about what you're paying for it. Worried about the terms, because terms are always more important than price.
Well, on Russ's point, people are rising up looking for opportunity. And when there's been a situation that has created this problem that we have where the money isn't moving through the system, even though interest rates are low, it's not getting to the people that need it to buy real estate. Well, guess what? Entrepreneurs step up and there's a great opportunity there. So if you're the more passive investor, the person says, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty flipping houses. Instead, what if I could put my money to work at a much better interest rate than CDs today? Well, you're going to want to pay attention to the rest of the show. We've got a couple of great guests. When we come back, we'll talk more about private money with guys that are out there doing it. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio Network. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
The Real Estate Guys podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of The Real Estate Guys, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. A great audiobook is Cultivating an Unshakable Character by Jim Rohn. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/realestateguys. That's audiblepodcast.com/realestateguys.
As investors survey the country for markets and properties that will perform well for them over the next 5 to 10 years, one market in particular stands out. That's Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta was the second fastest growing MSA throughout the last decade. It's home to the world's busiest airport and has one of the highest concentrations of Fortune 500 companies in the country. Atlanta is expected to add 100,000 new people every year for the next 10 years. And just next year alone, Atlanta is predicted to add over 50,000 new jobs. Now, what if I told you you could buy fully renovated, leased, and cash-flowing investment properties in this market for half of replacement cost? That's right, 3- and 4-bedroom homes in good suburban neighborhoods that can be purchased completely renovated for $70,000 to $90,000. At Georgia Residential Partners, this is exactly what we do. We've been helping investors all over the country make solid real estate purchases in Atlanta for almost 7 years. Call us today at 770-924-5450 or check us out online at gainvesting.com.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one downloaded podcast on real estate. Thanks for tuning in. You've got a great show you're listening to today because you're going to meet a couple of guys that are doing the thing in private money. Let me introduce to you Mr. Alex Craig. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely. And Jeremy Veldman.
Thanks a lot for having us, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, before we talk about the market you guys work in, I want to talk about private money. You heard Russ and the Godfather and I talk a little bit about our take on it, but you've seen on the street level where there is a need and where there's an opportunity. How did you guys get into the private money side of things?
Well, it really happened out of necessity, Robert. I mean, with what we do as professional real estate investors, we have to have access to capital so that we can close on deals quickly. I mean, if a deal is under contract, we don't have time to go through the rigorous hoops of getting pre-approved with a bank or a formal institution. We need to literally be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and have the money available if we need to close the deal quickly. It's almost like picking up the phone, as Alan Cowgill said, and ordering pizza, except in this case, we're just saying, hey, we got a deal, we're ready to close. Can you have the money available for us? Alex, further thoughts?
Well, this year we started selling properties to international investors. And these guys, Australia and Singapore, they had a lot of cash that they were sitting on. So they're coming in here and paying cash for properties, and they were dying for financing. And U.S. banks are just not going to lend to international investors. It's not going to do it. So basically, we had to think of another way to be able for these guys to leverage their money. So the idea was private mortgages. And we went out and found private lenders who want to lend to these individuals. The rate of return is around 10%, and that's a good rate of return for a private lender.
So. Well, let me stop you there, because this is great. So the idea is that a private lender who would be lucky to earn 2% elsewhere is able to earn 10%, but at the same time, you've just added leverage into the equation for the Australian or Singapore client who comes in and didn't have anything available. Instead of return being based just on cash, now at least they have some level of leverage.
Exactly, and I'll tell you what, cash buyers are great when you get to certain price points, but once you get beyond a certain price point for properties, it gets to be a little bit more difficult to sell a real estate transaction to a cash buyer. I mean, when you're selling an $80,000 property or a $70,000 property as an all-cash transaction, that really limits how far they can go. So when you enter private money and private financing into the equation, suddenly that investor who was a cash buyer can now buy two or three properties instead of just one. So it's a tremendous advantage for us.
Well, that helps them, and that certainly doesn't hurt the guys that are providing the housing, does it?
No, not at all.
Now, let's talk about that, because that's really how you saw the need here. First, as real estate investors, and secondly, to be able to help other people, not only here in the U.S., but in other places, to be able to acquire real estate in a great market at a great time. And this is a tool that's necessary to help expand that part of the business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you're talking about individuals who are good at making money. They're good at piling up the cash in their local market, and they see a tremendous opportunity because America is on sale right now. So, and then they're researching the market that we're in. They're seeing this opportunity to buy and acquire income passively by investing through real estate. The problem is you get tapped out really, really quickly. But when you have sources of capital available that are not available through traditional financing institutions, then all of a sudden, you now have more opportunities to build wealth through the long term. So because now you can buy a property, and you can, instead of paying full cash for that property, you can put, you know, 30, 35% down. You can buy that property, get into it, leverage, buy yourself a few years while you're still cash flowing and you're still generating passive income, and then 3 to 5 years down the road, refinance out. And then in the meantime, use your capital to buy another one and then to buy another one. Because I tell you, the window of opportunity is open right now, but we all know it's not going to be open forever.
You know, Jeremy, that's such a great point, because we've always said you get one opportunity to buy the property, but the financing you can change multiple times, right? And there's a good likelihood that 3 to 5 years from now, whatever the loan landscape looks like, it'll be different than it is now. But getting in and get the property today, cash flowing today, while it's on sale, this is a tool you can use. Now, let's do this. Let's talk first about the borrower side. So we'll talk about private money as a great tool for someone who wants to buy. Could be a citizen. We have listeners in over 160 countries, so could be somebody who's not a U.S. citizen that's going to have to use a private source to acquire. Or it could be someone that is Fannie Freddied out. They're at the maximum number of loans they can get. Or it's just because of the speed and because maybe they don't show up on paper the same way that they as they do in real life, those kinds of things. So let's work through what some of those terms are, right? You would look at the typical scenario and go, well, today if I was going to buy with a conventional loan, I need 20% down. I need a 720 FICO score or higher, and the interest rate would be good. Now, instead, we're going to have to make a trade-off. So what does the loan look like to the person who's borrowing the money?
Well, you know, you had mentioned earlier that it is a little bit more expensive. But, you know, we were talking last night. It's really not that much more expensive if you're going to a local bank. Typically, you're going to have to put down about 35%. Private lender wants to know that there's skin in the game.
Yep.
So, you know, the days of zero down, those are done. So there's skin in the game. The interest rate's going to be around 8.95%. But if you go to a local bank, they're still charging about 6.5%. So to pay a point and a half higher, a couple points higher, that's not all that, you know, that's pretty acceptable for somebody to do private money. Typically, they want 5 loan points. And that's where someone says, well, that's a little expensive, 5 points to go to borrow money. But if you think about it, if you go to a lender, the closing costs, the appraisal, the underwriting fees, the doc fee, the prep fee, all that stuff adds up almost to about 5%. So paying 5% for a private money is not that bad. And like Jeremy talked about, the window of opportunity is not going to be around forever. So you're buying property cheap anyways. It'd be one thing if, you know, you're buying a property at market value, but these are properties below market value. And in our market, it's at the bottom right now. We're at the bottom. You know, we're ticking up a little bit, but it's still cheap. Speaking from somebody that bought property 5 years ago, and I thought I was getting a great deal.
Right.
I found out that the market had further to go down. So, yeah, it's, you know, usually you get about a 20-year amortization. Typically, a private lender is going to want to out, and they don't want to hold a loan for 20 years. So they put a 20-year amortization with a 5-year call. That way they have their exit strategy. And because it is private lending, they may call it, but maybe they refinance it. Maybe it's going good. Maybe the return is still 10%. That's still a phenomenal return in 5 years. I mean, we don't know what kind of returns or what the yields are going to be in 5 years. But, you know, we tell everybody, hey, look, you know, you're cash flowing. It's a 20-year amortization. Bank those cash flows. You know, you may get it refinanced, but, you know, maybe they'll have to call it. So you do need to be in a position where in 5 years, just like anything else that has a balloon payment, you may have to settle it up at that point.
Okay, so a few more points and not much more in interest, but a little more, certainly a premium. Anytime somebody thinks something's expensive, we have them think compared to what, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to not getting the property, right. Compared to 5 years from now going, man, I wish I would have bought a bunch of houses, right? So I think we have that part down. Let's talk about loan to value. How much down payment is typically a private lender looking to see?
They want at least 35%. They're looking at it from their standpoint. And anybody that does any kind of loan, there's that possibility they may have to take this property back.
Yep.
So 35% down, that's in a pretty good equity position. Now, typically the houses are bought after the 35% down payment. They are probably in at around 50 cents on the dollar. So, you know, give or take a few points, depending on the appraisals in that particular area. But typically the lenders are going to be around 50% loan to value. So that's not that's a pretty good calculated risk.
Well, and this is an interesting point because it's 35% down of the purchase price, but the properties you guys specialize in, they're coming with equity. You're able, we'll talk about how you guys are able to do that, but you're essentially delivering a property to an investor at below market. Everybody says that. We've had the benefit of actually being in your market and seeing how you do it, so it's a great story, but we really want to focus on private money for the minute. We'll talk about your market before we're done because it's a market we're very happy to share with our listeners. But, okay, so you've got 35% LTV, the purchase price. So I'm going to have to come up with more down payment. And we've covered what the interest rate is and the amortization time. Let's talk about the speed, because one of the things that holds loans up is just the whole committee and underwriting and so forth. So there still doesn't mean that private lenders will do any underwriting. And then also let's talk about appraisal. So what are the other things involved with getting one of these loans?
The process is pretty quick. For an international buyer, it takes a little bit longer because time changes, you know, the property inspection. Typically, if they've got a question, there's a day lag in returning. So for an international, it takes a little bit longer, about 30 days. But for a U.S. investor that maybe they're Fannie Mae out or, like you mentioned earlier, for some reason or another, self-employed and can't get financing, it happens pretty quick. There's not an appraisal. The private lenders that we have used, they don't order an appraisal. You know, we typically have an appraisal anyways. When we buy our property, sometimes we do have to go through our local bank that we've got a relationship with, and they'll order an appraisal. So, you know, we'll supply the appraisal to the lender, and they're usually okay with that.
And, you know, part of it is because a lot of private lenders, people loaning the money, tend to be familiar with the market and the collateral, right? So because of that, and I've had the same experience, a lot of private money guys, what is an appraisal? It's a professional opinion of value. A lot of them feel that, hey, I know the market as well as an appraiser does. And again, the risk is in the eye of the lender. So it's not, you don't not get appraisal to save money. It's really depending on what the lender requires.
Yeah, I tell you, getting back to the issue of appraisals, typically if a private lender is coming on board for the first time, they're going to want to get an appraisal on a piece of property because they're taking that extra step as a precautionary measure on their part. They want to make sure that there's a legal document that has been performed and produced by a licensed professional that says, yes, this is the value of the property, and it's an added layer of security. But after they've had a good experience on one or two of these, what we've typically found is after you get past the first one, it becomes a lot easier for them to commit to the second, third, and fourth one, and suddenly the appraisal is sort of a moot point. So we make it optional. The biggest thing is that they're protected by the promissory note, by the deed of trust, by the hazard insurance, which protects them in the event that there is some type of destruction to the property, and then, of course, lender title insurance, which protects them in the event that there's a cloud on title down the road. So those are the big four that we like to talk about as far as protecting private lenders and their interest in a property.
Now, what about the rents? Do they want to see that there's a tenant in place, or will they just look at a rent survey and say, all right, this is what the rent's going to be, and how concerned is the private lender in what the durability of the income is for the property?
Well, typically, our properties are already rented. We don't really even recommend anybody out of state buying a vacant property. It's really not a good idea. You know, if we're providing a turnkey service, then why not wait till the property already gets rented out? So the lender, yeah, they prefer it to be rented out, but for the most part, we wait till the properties get rented anyways. That way, there's no surprises on the lender part. You know, there's a lot of checks and balances that we do, you know, from the lending standpoint, from the buyer standpoint, but with they're already rented out, that's typically the route we go.
All right. I want to make sure we have time to look at the other side. But before we leave the borrower side of private money, you know, Jeremy, you talked about the fact that people have cash and they want to buy the property and it ties up their cash. But because of the way that private money is more flexible, do you see where in your situation you see an investor come in, buy for cash, and then essentially refinance into private money? Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility. We don't see that all that often. Typically, the transaction type is predetermined on the front end, whether they're going to buy all cash or whether they're going to finance down the road. But that's an interesting point that you bring up, Robert, because with private money, you have that layer of flexibility. You know, maybe you're ready to pull the trigger now on a property. And I've done this myself on investment properties where I see an opportunity and it's like, okay, I've got to take control of this property. So I'll go ahead and close with cash that I have in my reserves. And then maybe a week or two or a month down the road, I'll like, well, okay, well, let's go ahead and put a private loan on this, get my cash back so I have some working capital to roll into other aspects of my business. And then again, that's where private money is so essential, because then you can just bring in a private money lender down the road, refinance out of that property, put yourself into a private loan, and then get your capital back and go forward from there.
All right, good stuff. Our guests today are Jeremy Veldman and Alex Craig, and we're going to talk about not only their marketplace, but also the other side. What if you wanted to loan out some money on a private basis? When we come back, we'll also play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize after this. We are the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, Russ, we need a catchy ad for David Campbell's hassle-free cash flow properties in Dallas.
How about nobody does Dallas like David?
No.
Okay, so what makes David Steele so great?
Well, first, they're in Dallas. It's a great market with strong drivers.
Dallas is a great market.
Plus, they're brand new, no deferred maintenance, a builder's home warranty, and lots of landlord-friendly features.
Go on.
David's offering a 2-year rent guarantee. That means hassle-free cash flow from day one, guaranteed for 2 full years.
Wow, how do I get in on this?
Even that's hassle-free. Just send an email to hasslefree@realestateguysradio.com. Now, what about the ad?
A deal this good doesn't need an ad. Just an email to hasslefree@realestateguysradio.com.
Have you ever been frustrated with your bank? Denied a loan? Charged excessive fees? Hassled over late payments? Don't worry, you're not alone. What if you could become your own bank? Set your own terms? Interest would be paid to you. all your monthly payments could be reused for other purchases. Now you can. There is a cash management system that families, business owners, and investors have used for decades, which allows you to be the bank. For a free article from our friends at Paradigm Life, visit www.beyourbank.com or call us at 1-888-510-6838, extension 116.
Hi, this is Mo Vesey. I'm the president of the National Association of Realtors, about 1,100,000 members strong. Excited to be with the Real Estate Guys today. Thank you.
And welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Private money is what we're talking about today, how to borrow it, how to lend it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get back to our interview with Jeremy and Alex, it is time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing the answer to today's Real Estate Trivia question. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to give you that question. You are quickly going to fire off an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Be sure to include your name and your mailing address, because if you win, we got to send you the prize. It's an autographed copy of Equity Happens, Building Lifelong Wealth with Real Estate, our book on real estate investing. That can be yours. We give away the first copy to the first person with the right answer, like a traditional radio show. After that, though, lots of people listen on the podcast, so we take all the correct guesses for the week, and we have a drawing for a second winner. So even if you're listening on iTunes or on our website or somewhere else, you got a chance to win, as long as you get your question in, or the answer to the question in, before next week's show. Before I give you this week's trivia question, which has something to do with your market, so we're going to have to give that up, I guess, we're going to look at last week's question. We had Andy Tanner on the program, and the question had nothing to do with Andy or how real estate investors can learn from the stock market. But here was our question. Where was the first United States performance of a Beethoven symphony? The first place a Beethoven symphony was performed live in the United States, Lexington, Kentucky, in 1817. Now, here's our trivia question for this week. These gentlemen work in one of our favorite marketplaces called Memphis, Tennessee, so I found a Tennessee trivia question. Here it is. Tennessee was the 16th state admitted to the Union. Did you guys know that?
Didn't know that.
Now you do. See, learning something on the Real Estate Guys. So the 16th state admitted to the Union. So follow me on this. Here's the trivia question. There were the original 13 colonies, and then there was Memphis at number 16, meaning there were two states that came on board in between the original 13 colonies and Tennessee. Name them. What two states admitted to the United States between the 13 colonies and Tennessee? If you know or want to take a guess, send it off to us, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and mailing address so we can send you the prize, an autographed copy of Equity Happens, Building Lifelong Wealth with Real Estate. That is today's Real Estate Trivia question. Alex Craig and Jeremy Veldman are from Memphis Turnkey Properties, and they specialize in helping investors not only find great property, but also run it turnkey, which means you don't have to worry about it. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's get back to private money, guys, and look at it from the other side. So I've got some capital I want to invest, and I'm not really excited about, you know, loaning it out at 2 or 3%, but you've got my attention with private money, and if I can make 10% of my money and it's secured by 50% LTV, that sounds interesting. On that side of it, who are the typical people that are making those loans and what's involved?
Well, it's an interesting question, Robert. I'll tell you, looking at an avatar of an ideal candidate for a private money lender, you're talking about a professional who works a job. Typically, they're very good at what they do, and they work a lot of hours. You know, the 40-hour work week is gone. It's been replaced by the 60- and 70-hour work week. It could be any individual. I mean, it could be a corporate worker, somebody, an engineer, or somebody who works a corporate job. It could be a doctor or a lawyer, a high-net-worth individual who's just really, really good at piling up the cash. It could be somebody who's retired and has got money parked into an IRA account. It could literally be anybody who's got cash sitting somewhere in an account, whether it's a bank account or it's an IRA account, or maybe sitting at home under their mattress and they're just looking for an opportunity to lend it out. Any individual that you come across could be a private lender. And I'll tell you one, I'm a private lender myself. I mean, I'm actually doing this. I'm not just talking about it, but I've got a property that I've loaned out money on myself to a long-term investor. And I tell you, it's quite a feeling to be able to get up and go to your mailbox every month and have a check sitting there waiting for you.
I hear you. Now this brings up a great point, and I think, Jeremy, you're going to be able to answer this question. Why would somebody want to loan money on a property instead of be the investor to buy the property and get their stream of income from the rents?
Well, I tell you, you got to consider the alternative. I mean, when you look at what bank CDs are paying right now, less than 2%, 5-year annuities, less than 3%, bank accounts, less than 1%, inflation, correct me if I'm wrong, is around 3%. So in those vehicles, you're not even keeping up with inflation, even though they're supposed to be, quote unquote, secured. Now, you talk about the stock market and mutual funds. You know, I've played that game, too, and the roller coaster ride can be something that can make your stomach churn. So with real estate, you have an opportunity to have your cash parked into a physical, tangible asset that is never going to change. I mean, the three-bedroom, two-bathroom house that you're loaning on is always going to be a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house. And you have the opportunity to loan out on that property. You're loaning at loan-to-values that are typically 50% or less of what the property is actually valued at. So, you know, if the house appraises for, let's say, $80,000, your loan is going to be $40,000 or less. And you've got a renter in there that's paying rent every month that goes to the investor buyer, and then your monthly mortgage is being paid out of the rent proceeds. You have, again, the four documents that I talked about, a promissory note, a deed of trust, hazard insurance, title insurance that's protecting your interest legally in the property. If something were to happen and you had to foreclose, you could take back possession of the property. And if you held on to that property as a rental yourself, you're looking at rates of return upwards of 25% that you're going to collect, not to mention you could always wholesale the property off and get your cash back. And I'll tell you, we've never seen a case, Alex and I, in the years that we've been in business where an investor buyer has defaulted on a private loan. So lots of layers of security.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You have to consider who the person borrowing is. This isn't what happened 5 years ago when people that should have stayed renters became homeowners because you didn't need any down payment, you didn't need a credit score, right? The people that are borrowing are serious real estate investors. They've done homework and due diligence on the market as well. They understand the property, and they're not the kind of people that are going to, you know, shun responsibility. It's quite the opposite. They are living for that cash flow every month, so they're going to make sure that they're in good stead with the lender. Now, what is the amount of money that's typically involved? You know, is $40,000 a ballpark? Do you have to have some minimum amount?
There's not a minimum amount. $40,000 for our properties, we go after a little higher priced property. We go into what we call a B-class neighborhood where the rents are about $950 or more. So typically that price point of that house is going to be anywhere between $65,000 and $80,000. So 35% down payment on that. So typically these loans are around $40,000 to $45,000.
All right. So if you were just listening to $950 of rent for a house that's worth $60,000 to $80,000, probably you're pretty excited about that. It's why we like Memphis. The rent to price ratio is amazing, and you really there really are. We've seen a lot of those houses that rent for $950. You can pick up for under $80,000.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we actually picked up one this week that we're going to rent out for $1,200 a month, across the street from a school for $84,000. I got the appraisal back this week, and it's appraised at $106,000. That's a Fannie Mae approved appraiser. So I mean, that's a phenomenal deal. Our international investors, like Jeremy spoke about earlier, $84,000, they could do that, but why not leverage that cash and go out and get more properties like that?
Okay, so from the private lender side, is this a single note on a property with a deed, and I'm loaning the money to the individual secured in the property? It's not aggregated funds. It's not a pool of money. It's an individual loan.
That's exactly right. We don't pool money. To do that, you have to get involved in creating a security through the SEC. It may be an option for us down the road, but right now it's not something that we're even considering. So you're absolutely right. Basically, what we're doing is we're playing real estate matchmaker. We find a specific property, a specific investor buyer, and a specific private lender. We put them together, create a deal, everybody wins, and then we just get out of the way and let the transaction work.
All right. So now I've been chomping at the bit to talk about this. Let's talk about Memphis, Tennessee. It's a great marketplace. We had a chance to come out and meet you, Alex, several months back and then came back. And you and your lovely wife, Benelin, came on our field trip. And we got one coming right up, too. So we're going to have a chance before we're done to invite people to come to Memphis quickly. In your business, you keep the property management in-house. In fact, Benelin is your property manager. I was very impressed with her breadth of knowledge and understanding. We walked through properties that you showed us, and she was getting questions right and left on property management to which she was able to answer. Tell us about the whole turnkey thing that you guys are doing in Memphis.
Well, basically, the process is quite simple. We go out and we buy the property. We take ownership. We get on title. Whether we get a private lender to buy the property or do we go to our local bank that we have a relationship. Anyways, we take ownership of the property. Typically, it's a bank foreclosure. It's got some work that needs to be done, so we fix it up, and then once it's fixed up, we start marketing it for rent. Benelin, through her property management company, which is in-house, her office is one door down from mine, She markets the property. Once it's rented out, then that's technically, then it's turnkey, and we could start marketing this property for sale.
Interesting. Most folks who are looking at buying a property have, as we talked about a little bit before, the job of finding a property manager then filling up the property. And I'm sure that they're nervous about that, and our lender's nervous about that. Instead, if you're delivering the property with tenant already there, with what, typically a lease, or is it month-to-month, or...
Well, typically, the tenant's on a lease. You know, we try to get as long of a lease as we can.
Yeah.
But typically, 1 to 2 years is a lease. We try to get lease purchases are fantastic, because somebody's putting down money on a property they don't own, saying that they will purchase it down the road, and if it doesn't happen, they don't get that lease purchase back. It's non-refundable. So lease purchases are fantastic.
Well, plus the fact that your tenant is now treating the house as though they were going to be the owner, because they're expecting to be. So,
well, what we're seeing a lot of is people that got their house foreclosed. They're not comfortable with being a renter. So there's a little pride of rentership, if so to say, if they're doing a lease purchase. They can say, hey, look, we got foreclosed on. We got some things to fix on our credit, and we're gonna purchase this property. And so that, and they could tell the people that come over the house, hey, we're not really renting. We're renting to own. And there's a pride in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's they buy a property. It's got a tenant in it. It's been performing for a while. Now they're going to come in and they're going to get private. They don't have to get a private loan. It's just one of the tools you guys use. You do have people who qualify for conventional loans.
Absolutely. We've got lenders that we work with, a couple of different ones. Typical Fannie Mae underwriting guidelines apply. So if, a U.S. investor wanted to go out and buy a property, his credit score is where it needed to be, his cash reserves, and it is a little bit harder now. And, 3 or 4 years ago, it was not as hard to buy property, but if you're wanting to put 20% down, there's still a lot of lending out there, and just long as you qualify for it. And we've got lenders that you put 20% down, and you'll cash flow around $400 a month.
And I'll tell you, that's typically the option that we explore first. If you can qualify for a 20% down conventional loan to buy a property, that would be the first option, and then we take it from there.
That's such a good point, Jeremy, because if you can get access to the amazing interest rates that are available today, then by all means, that's what you want people to do, and you'll help them with that. But the answer that you're providing here is one that a lot of providers can't. I mean, a lot of the folks who do what you do across the country, helping to heal America one house at a time, which we think is just an awesome way to make a living, to make profit, and also to help the country, get back on its feet. Those folks, if you can't qualify, it's like, well, sorry, call me when you can. This is a great solution. Now, it takes more work. You got to really sell the deal twice. You got to get that private lender involved, and that's a whole, education and counseling and all that. Then you've got to make the buyer understand why it's in their best interest to consider this. But if you guys are willing to do the extra work and play match maker, as you mentioned, then it's got to create a win on both sides.
Absolutely. You're talking about an opportunity here, getting back to the concept of a win-win transaction. You're selling a property to a buyer who wants to invest passively in real estate without having to do all the work. Our company does it for them, but you're also creating an opportunity for an individual who has cash sitting there that's not working for them to get them involved in a safer alternative to the stock market, which is volatile, pays a higher yield than you would get in conventional investment vehicles, and it's backed by something tangible and secure. So both parties win.
I always talk about having a plan B, and I think a great plan B, if you're going to be that lender, is you've got a tenant paying the rent. If for whatever reason the investor gets in trouble and isn't able to complete the transaction in terms of keeping the loan in place, hey, you've got a great property, it's undervalued, turn around and sell it, or just hang on, and you still got income coming in the door.
Yeah, the risk management of it, I mean, it's fantastic, especially, the key parts, it's under management already, the property management side, so we're already managing the property. So if the investor... something happens in their personal life, there's things that happen and they can't meet their obligations. So the investor will have to take the property back. Well, we're already managing the property. We know what's going on with it. If it's vacant, we know we're marketing it. We know that there's not, we know all the behind the scenes stuff that's going on. So it really protects the private lender is really protected by the property management side too. And that's why it's really key to have property management in the house. And I just like it too. I like to have total control over the situation. I like to know exactly how much money's going out to the investors, and we want to incubate them and make them. I just like to know everything that's going on with it.
All right, well, this is a lot to get your mind around, but what we've asked the guys to do here is to distill it down to a free report they've written. So if you'd like to learn more, and if you have questions and so forth, a great way to start is to get the report. Tell us about the free report the listeners can get.
Well, we've written this free report to talk about the concept of private money really from both sides, from the borrower's side and then also from the private lender side. And so we talk about the general concept of private money, how it works, the different tools that are in place to secure you. And then also we give some specific examples of private loans that we've done ourselves. And then we finish off the report with just a brief discussion about Memphis as a market, why we like to invest, how our business model works, what turnkey investing is, and what makes Memphis unique from other markets throughout the country as far as your ability to build wealth passively through real estate investing.
All right. To get your hands on a copy of the free report, it's easy. Just send an email to private@realestateguysradio.com. We're talking private money, so send an email to private@realestateguysradio.com, and we'll rush you out that report. You can learn not only about the opportunities to either borrow or lend private money, but also a little bit about Memphis. And coming up real quickly, the very first weekend in March, we're going to head back. The Real Estate Guys field trip to Memphis, Tennessee is coming up, and you guys can be a big part of that.
Absolutely. We're looking very forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So you get a chance to meet Jeremy and Alex if you come out to our field trip. All the information available on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events and see Memphis Field Trip. Come see the amazing market of Memphis. You're going to love the cash flows. We're going to tell you about the 4 Rs. It's going to be an extraordinary time. We'd love to have you there. Gentlemen, it has been great to have you with us. Thanks so much for the great information.
Thank you, Robert. We've had a good time.
Thanks, Robert. We really appreciate the opportunity.
When we come back, more from the Real Estate Guys. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys Radio Network. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready to take your real estate investing to a whole new level? Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Join the Real Estate Guys for the 10th Annual Investor Summit. It's part education, part inspiration, part transformation, and a whole lot of fun. And it takes place in 4 different countries. Returning this year are Rich Dad Advisors Ken McElroy and Wayne Palmer, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Rauld, and the godfather of real estate, Bob Helms. Plus, joining us for the first time, Robert and Kim Kiyosaki, live and in person. It all begins March 30th, 2012 in Orlando. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click on the tab that says Summit to learn more. The Investor Summit always sells out, so reserve your spot today. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit, or call 888-GUYS-RADIO to talk with our Summit specialist. That's 888-489-7723. 888-GUYS-RADIO. Spend a week with the Real Estate Guys, the Kiyosakis, and an all-star faculty on the 10th Annual Investor Summit.
Live where you want to live, but invest where the numbers make sense. Even better, invest where you have a solid team to support you. We've been hearing great things about Memphis, Tennessee, and Terry Kerr from Mid-South Homebuyers. Since 2002, Terry and his team have been delivering turnkey rental property solutions ideal for out-of-area real estate investors. So, if you're looking for affordable, trouble-free, turnkey investment property, call Terry. Use our resource hotline at 888-510-6838, extension 118. That's 888-510-6838, extension 118. Or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com. Come meet Terry Kerr when the Real Estate Guys come to Memphis for an investor field trip March 2nd through 4th. Get all the details at realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Darren Hardy, publisher of Success Magazine, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. You picked a good one. And don't forget, you can learn more about our field trip to Memphis on our website at realestateguysradio.com. We love Memphis, Tennessee.
We do love Memphis. You know, the first time when we talked about going out to Memphis, I looked at all the stats and I kind of looked at the market from a distance. And I really thought going in, I was going to be going into Detroit.
Yeah.
And that was the way I looked at it. And, you know, not that I got anything on Detroit. It's just that it wasn't what I was expecting at all. I knew it was a blue-collar town. I knew it was a rental town. I knew that it was a low price point. I'd read some of the crime studies, you know, and then we went there and we actually talked to a person who'd been the representative from the Chamber of Commerce, had been a police officer, and he explained to us the way they keep their crime stats make it seem like the crime is actually worse than it is. And I thought that was super interesting. But, you know, when you go there and you're actually in the neighborhood and you're going in and out of the different neighborhoods and driving around on the freeways and looking at where people work and going in the restaurants and the shops, seeing the people and seeing those neighborhoods, I would live there. I mean, if I was at a stage in my life where I thought I'd like to be in a low-tax jurisdiction, I want to be someplace where the housing is affordable, I want to be where there's some culture and some interesting things to do, not some little hick town in the middle of nowhere – Memphis would be on my short list of places I would consider relocating if I was in a New York or a Chicago and I was highly taxed and I needed to do something more affordable to stretch my retirement dollars.
Well, let me know if you need that help, because I know a couple of guys that work there. We love the marketplace. So also just the fact that there's so many great employers, and that's why I want you to come and understand Memphis. You can't understand it until you're there. I had the same experience, right? I'd done a lot of research early about Memphis, but hadn't spent much time there. I was there once and hung out on Beale Street most of the time, I think. And when we came back, it was extraordinary. Here was the thing for me. First of all, the price-to-rent ratio is just insane.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, because there is so much demand from good quality tenants. And then when we got to the neighborhoods, right, so Alex took us out and showed us a house that was priced at, $82,000. I had an image in my mind of what that house was going to be like. And then when we saw and walked through it, I'm like, this is nice.
Right.
It's a really neat market from that point of view. This is great. I mean, these guys obviously know their stuff. And not only is it a great marketplace, but they found a tool here and a way to implement a tool that I think is really going to help some of our listeners who aren't the 720 FICO score, qualify for the traditional lending kind of folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you asked a great question, and you know, you said, why would somebody want to be a lender and not an owner of
right.
a property? And really, the answer is a question of risk, because, you know, when you're an equity, when you're an owner, like when you buy stocks, if something goes sideways, you eat it. You're the first in line to take the hit. So if you own the property and the market turns or it's vacant or whatever, that's on you. Now, if you're a lender, you're at the front of the line. Right. And so even if the house is empty, the guy still got to come out of his savings or from his other properties and find a way to make the payment, or you're going to end up being the owner, and then you can sell it. And with that protective equity, that large down payment they were talking about, you know, you're going to probably be able to sell that property and get out of it, or you just take over renting it until you can find another borrower and then sell it on a carry back, however you want to choose to do it. But it's really a matter of risk mitigation.
Absolutely. Plus, there's a season in life where maybe instead of wanting to deal with the very, you know, real issues of tenants and that whole thing, you just want to sit back and go out to the mailbox.
Yeah, that's what I was going to address. I think it's not for everybody. Being a lender is a much more conservative way to do this. If you're a guy who has neither the ability nor the inclination, that's a pretty good start. I can always, if I have the ability to earn money, I can put my money out there, let it work for me. I don't have to do that part of it. There's another factor, too, when you look at a place you're going to go that's more than who the investor is. The investor, everybody in this game wants some confidence that the people who are putting this together know what they're doing. When we pick a team of people any place, what do we really want? We'd like everybody on our team to be an investor. These guys, that's where they come from. They are investors. Clearly, they've put a lot of things together to make this work. So they're exercising the creativity that you need, but they're very solidly grounded in the investment business. Having your own property management company, not a bad idea. It really does give you control, as Alex said. So I think when you look at why you'd pick one of these things, not everybody wants to go out there and manage the property or have somebody manage it for you, because it means you need to be more involved. I think it's just a safe position to be a lender.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you have to be one or the other. There are people, and among those of us here, who do both those things, right? Because it's a way to have diversity in the type of investments you make. You know, we got to spend some amazing quality time with Robert Kiyosaki this last week, and he just thinks so differently about a lot of stuff. But the way that he views diversify, you know, a lot of the traditional, you know, diversify in a well-balanced portfolio, he just throws all that out, saying absolutely not, get rich in a niche. I'm in the middle of reading Midas Touch right now, an amazing book, Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki, and they throw out diversification and say, no, specialize, but as a business owner, you've got to have a general understanding and then bring specialists in. If I'm going to invest in real estate in a couple of different markets in a couple of different ways, I don't want to know as much as Alex and Jeremy know in a market. I want to have guys like that know that much.
Absolutely.
They're the specialists. They understand when you're paying too much, which side of the railroad tracks to be on and which not to, which employers are really strong employers and which aren't. I don't need to know all that, but I need to make sure that I understand the investment I'm making. And if it's going to be something passive on the lending side, great. If I want to acquire a whole bunch of properties and I'm in my early acquisition mode, I want to go out there and get a couple of dozen properties, you know, in my portfolio, then private money could be a great tool for that.
There's a lot of reasons why people mix owning equity and stock. You know, you have stocks, you have bonds. I want growth long term. I want income. A real estate agent says, I'm going to sell houses to make the big commissions, but I'm going to manage property so I have a steady stream of income coming in. Somebody says, I'm going to start a business on the side, but I'm going to work my day job to make sure I've got my bases covered. I mean, you can mix your income. And again, it goes back to, Bob, what you were talking about, that certainty of having the income come in. And debt allows you to do that. And if you know the yield is there and that's net, 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 I don't have expenses, then it's a very interesting way to cash flow.
Okay, make sure you get your hands on that report. All you do is send an email to private@realestateguysradio.com. And Jeremy and Alex have written a great report that will explain more about private money and the opportunities there. Plus, tell you a little bit about Memphis, and join us in Memphis, Tennessee, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. We're headed out again back to Memphis. It's an amazing market. We have a lot of fun there as well. And there are still just a couple of cabins left for the 10th Annual Investor Summit at Sea. Over 200 folks now signed up to come with us. It's going to be extraordinary. A week with Robert Kim Kiyosaki, Ken McElroy, G. Edward Griffin, Wayne Palmer. Really going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a ton of fun. You know, you want to hang out with people that are farther down the path than you are, and 13 different countries represented so far, so you get an international perspective. Some of those folks that Alex and Jeremy were talking about that are buying U.S. real estate, you get a chance to get inside their mindset.
All right, big thanks to the guys for making the trip to come here and be in person. Much better than a phone interview, and we really appreciate that effort. Also, big thanks to everyone in our resource directory, to our engineering team that brings you our show next week on The Real Estate Guys. We've got a great show for you. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of The Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Texas Investor Homes, discover high-yield, low-risk, double-digit cash on cash returns through interim construction funding. Hassle-free cash flow investing, creating cash flow opportunities for real estate investors with brand new single-family homes in Dallas, Texas. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.